I'm so upset because I'm gonna have to go on the podcast this weekend and tell Sean that he was right.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a special bonus episode for the 1975 with their upcoming release, Notes on a Conditional Form. We have reviewed the 1975, like who they are, all of their stuff, just before a release of Brief Inquiring into Online Relationships, which was released in November of 2018. So we've updated that episode with music, and with music samples, we're going to play that back into the conversation so you can listen along with us. And after that, we will play back one of probably my favorite review of today, which is the Brief Inquiry review, because I get to tell Dan that I'm right. And that never happens in my life. It's happened like 3 times that I had to do that. So it was beautiful. And we have a genuine good music discussion and stuff as always. And then after all that, so Dan will join me to do the Notes on a Conditional Form of next episode of Audio Face, as long as Maddie doesn't delay it for the 45th time. That episode will be as ready for you as next Monday for you. And here is the episode bonus of the 1975.
Hello, humans, and welcome to the ASMR edition of Audio Face.
So, I'm Sean.
I'm Dan. This is a podcast about music news and music culture, and let's get the most important thing out of the way. We're talking like this because I am literally in the midst of the worst cold I've had all year.
And then me is, I feel fine. I just lost my voice because I yell at kids for a living.
Nevertheless, let me put it like this. You're allowed to live near schools, so it's not that kind of yelling at kids for a living.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not Mr. Maxson.
You're not on a list.
Maxson's on a list. Like, 1000% Maxson's on the fucking list. He better be. Or FBI doing their job. I mean, they never do their job.
But anyways,
this is a special cast about my brief inquiry
into the 1975.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah, my second favorite band, the 1975.
Yes,
the group from Manchester. Maddie and the Boys, with Matthew Healy, George Daniel.
Yeah,
Ross McDonald.
Yeah,
all the boys.
Adam Hahn.
And Adam Hahn?
Yep. Yes.
Guitarist who dyed his hair fucking blonde. Okay.
I'm going with it. And so
I know. I kind of fucks with it.
Locally. In anticipation of the 1975's next album, The Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, we're going to be talking a little bit about...
Which comes out Friday. Well, I mean, it actually already got leaked, but, you know, thanks. Thanks, Target. Target fucked up and leaked the album on accident on Black Friday. They put it out, and yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It was brilliant. I mean, the same thing happened with their 2016 album. So, but I'm a true fan. I'm like, I'm waiting for the 30th.
You're waiting?
Because my mind is already set for Friday, and like, I don't know. I just feel weird if I try to do it.
No, I get that. It's even like, it's almost like the natural invocation I have for the Audio Face rule. It's I want to wait until the album comes out.
Yeah. And also, I want the album to pop up on my phone. I just want my screen to have the album cover.
I keep skipping through those notifications that Spotify always sends, because I always open Spotify very frantically, because I was like, play music, and I always like accidentally dismiss the, oh, this new album came out thing, and it's, this literally matters least to me of all people on the planet, because like, I keep up with newest music news and shit, so I know it's coming out way earlier than Spotify does, but it's still kind of annoying. I would love to have that kind of feeling. Anyways, how did the 1975 form?
Well, they formed a school. Basically, they got big in 2013, really, but they've been around since they were kids, like they're teenagers. When I think Ross and, no, it was George and Maddie, they're best friends, and they were flatmates for a long time. They formed the band where they were in, they all went to the same school, and they kind of relatively knew each other, and then they formed their band that way.
About what age are they all roughly? Because I think they're like teenagers.
They're teenagers, like 14, 15 or so. So, and then Maddie's 29. So they're all, they've been around for a long time, making music for a long time together. So even before they were called the 1975, they went through other different names and stuff throughout them and had demos and other things and played shows all over the place before the release of their first album, self-titled album, 1975, in 2013. And that's really what got them relatively known. Has he got enough money to spend? Started to do different shows and stuff while they were recording their album and everything, but they've been playing music forever.
Yeah, they had a couple different names. Me and You versus Them.
Yep.
Forever Drawing Six. Talk House.
The Big Sleep.
Big Sleep. Drive Like I Do.
Drive Like I Do.
They settled on the 1975 because
of a poem.
They found a poetry book that stated 1st of June, the 1975.
Yeah, that's what Maddie found one in the attic. And yeah, so that's a big, important thing to a bunch of fans in the band, is the 1st of June, the 1975. So that's what the 1st of June was. This year, they just announced their Music for Cars, which Music for Cars was an EP that they released before their first album. But this is like a big... Okay, this is the new era, because the 1975 goes through eras.
Similar to Gorillaz phases.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty similar. So they had like the Black Album era, which is the first album where they were always wearing black and black clothing, black and white. Their music videos were like that. It's kind of an era feel. And then their second album, I Like It When You Sleep For You, So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It, really weird title. In 2016, the album was pink. So a complete total 180 contrast to what they did, but that era was okay, more lively stuff, a bit more color in their music videos and their shows, more color, big pink, big rectangles. So that's what they're formed on. And now this one, Music for Cars, is two albums. So they've seen a brief inquiry into online relationships for this Friday, the 30th of November. Yeah, at the time of recording, so 30th of November. And then next year, at about May, they're releasing a second album called Notes on a Conditional Form. So, because Maddie said he didn't want to make double albums because he says that they're terrible for fans. Take hints, Drake and Migos.
Take
and the rest,
and most of Trap.
All of Trap. Maddie's so woke. He really is.
And so, like, just to really kind of pin down, what does the 1975 sound like if you're trying to describe it to someone who has not heard that much before?
I was kind of going
through their back catalog in anticipation up to this, and I would say they're pop alternative, a little bit experimental, especially more on the second album.
Definitely the second album.
And
then all their singles and stuff.
Yeah, just
this
like
year.
Pop alternative, which is weird because that's like a... That's a very interesting place in my musical heart. That's where Gorillaz lives, in pop alternative. That's a very like nice place for me. And there's a little... Just when you want to say the 1975 sounds very similar to a certain band, and there are a couple that I can name, you go, but not quite, because they do...
They have their own sound.
Yeah, they do have
they're
quite
definitely
their
unique.
Own sort of mix.
Yeah, they're... I mean... They're... First album, the 1975, is more true alternative rock, as I like to call it, where it's, okay, this is what alternative sounds like. We have songs like Settle Down, Heart Out, Sex. Those songs are really big into, okay, this is what true alternative sounds like, which there's kind of a big gap with alternative music right now where you have a bunch of like indie folk and other shit getting in, more pop getting into it.
Yeah,
but that album,
the
was,
alternative genre has always been kind of broad.
We've talked about that plenty of times on Audio Face, and
subscribe if you're not already.
Please do. I hope I get hella fan 1975 fans to listen to this because I love the community.
Our recap episodes are very popular with people.
I know all the hashtags for these humans. I'm so down. Anyway, because I'm going to a listening party at Fingerprints at 4 p.m. on Friday because I'm going balls in because I want to know what fans listen to.
Holy shit.
I'm going in, be like,
you're going so hard in the paint.
I'm going so hard in the paint.
You might have to do some interviews, so like audio face bonus.
I'm literally low key to do that. Like, I told Justin he's gonna come with me. I'm like, I want to like ask people, and I'm gonna take notes and stuff. Like, actually for the podcast.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about this a little bit later air. But this will be a very interesting thing for you to
because I want to hear what fans' opinions are on it.
Because we're the podcast of the people. So if you've wanted to ever assassinate Sean Suarez, you'll be able to do so at Fingerprints at Long Beach this Friday. What'd you say?
4 p.m.
Yeah, his face is on the album cover. Shoot straight, in the words of Maxine Waters. I almost called her Barbara Lee because they all look the same. Anyways.
Except the ones on the left is.
Just. Syndicate 23 political report.
Oh God,
it was a disaster.
Yeah, that was a disaster. We'll talk about that later. Anyways, so their sound, the Pink Album was a big
Which, let's get this out of the way. The second album is called "I Like It When You Sleep for You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It." It's a very long title.
It's a poem that Maddie wrote, like a thing that he was writing, and that's what it is. So the fans call it Black Album, Pink Album,
And I'm gonna do that too because I don't want to sound like a creep.
Honestly, do that. So the Pink Album, they contrasted their sound a bit more poppy, more energetic, high-pitched stuff, and a lot more electronic. I mean, so the 1975, the deluxe version of their album, the first album, the second half of the deluxe version, which has a lot of B-sides, you can hear the experimental stuff. So you have like intro / set 3, you have Antichrist, you have Me, you have songs along those lines, A No Brain, Face Down, which they actually put that song into Lost My Head. But anyways, so those are more experimental, and you can hear, okay, they're tiddering to electronics, trying to do different sounds, which for me personally, you know, if you've been a listener of Audio Face, my favorite genre is experimental alternative rock. I love that shit. That's why I love Radiohead, that's why I love Björk, you know, so on. And that's why I love the 1975, because every time I'm listening to them, I go, boom, this is like my favorite genre. I really like it and everything. So anyways, they, we tied the game.
That's amazing.
Hold on, did Sidney Crosby score? Crosby scored a hat trick. Like, I am a Roman god right now. Sorry, it's still like a 1975 fans. I'm a giant hockey fan, so.
Yeah, we happen to be recording this during a hockey game. So sorry about that random jump in thought, but continue your train of thought, Sean.
Yeah, so the Pink Album went way more experimental. So you had songs like self-titled, so I like it when you sleep for you're so beautiful, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That's basically like half house music into the song. Sounds like Loving Someone, which is a big pop electronic hit. Oh my god, that song is amazing. He has a line of, I'm the Greek economy of cashing intellectual checks. And then you have like Somebody Else, which everybody knows that song.
That's the sound my, I really, the sound probably my favorite 1975 song.
I love the sound. I love Love Me, the opening track of the album. And then my favorite on that album is Lost My Head, personally. Mm. Super simple song, but beautifully written. It's amazing. It's a really good song, simple, right before all of the things into it. And that flows. That's the big thing I love with the 1975. They're very thoughtful of when to make music because they wrote the sound during the Black Album era. But Maddie said, I don't want to be a boy band. I don't want to sound like a boy band. So I don't know when to really make the sound and put it into an album where we don't sound like a boy band. So they put off on it until the Pink Album and said, okay, you know what? I want to make music I want to make. I don't want to have the pressures of having what people think we sound like, what we should sound like. I want to do what we want to do. And then the sound comes in, perfect time to put it in. Beautiful.
And that thoughtfulness has kind of been with the band since the beginning, or at least the beginning of them calling themselves the 1975.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
When they released their EP, the idea behind that, at least from what I've read, is that they wanted to be able to kind of showcase all the different sounds they were working with, so that they wouldn't have to be pinned down to one sort of thing on the album. So it's like to whet your appetite, to show that you're going to be experiencing a couple different influences from different genres that usually don't go perfectly together, or sometimes they do, right? Because I'm saying like pop alternative is an established thing.
Yeah.
And the 1975 definitely takes similar motifs from other different musical outfits that exist, right? But they do it in their own way, and in a way that's very unique, and it's definitely not something you'd usually find on the shelf with your typical pop album.
It's so much more depth than that.
That kind of thoughtfulness for how the music consumer actually understands these albums and listens to it and consumes it is the kind of thing that we really search for when reviewing albums, particularly because there is an art to constructing an album from start to finish and to actually be thoughtful about the songs rather than just putting a bunch of songs on the album because these are the collection of songs you made in this 6-month period of time. Thinking about how the songs go together, how they flow in and out of each other, like you were saying. If I could get, for a moment, I characterize the two 1975 albums a little bit differently. I characterize the first one, again, the Gorillaz, comparison is very apt here, but I compare the Black Album very much to Gorillaz' self-titled album, the first one, because both felt that I could hear from both their albums that they're very special from the beginning.
Yes.
But a lot of times, because they were so new, it felt disjointed. A lot of the sounds felt a little bit like they were there and they're really good, but they're like a little bit out of place so much. I hadn't fully found where they were going. I found particularly, I wouldn't call it filler songs, but there were some songs that were just turned up the like pop and almost boy bandishness to 11 or 12 on that album. And
you
they definitely refined it more on the Pink album.
You can definitely say that with like songs like Heart Out or Settle Down, which they don't really play in shows, but then you have their staples like Robbers, Sex, you know.
Money.
Oh my God, Money's such a good song. Chocolate. Those songs, they're big. Even though I don't like Chocolate that much because it's too upbeat for me. I like depressing shit.
And now we're gonna go into our review of A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships on AudioFace 76.
This is the 1975's A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. It's their third album.
Third LP.
15 songs long, 58 minutes long. Begins just
right
like...
around that heaven mark of...
We talked about the 1975 and their history in our bonus episode, Audio Face 75 Bonus, A Brief Inquiry into the 1975. You know a lot about them. You know what Sean has liked about them. We've picked them for Audio Face Song of the Summer with Love It If We Made It.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely going to be on the short list for Song of the Year.
Sean.
For sure.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
So,
how did you
like this album? Start with this fucking album. So... You've listened. Hopefully, you've listened to the bonus episode where I give you a brief explanation of the 1975 and why I like him so much.
Put out all this content for y'all.
So, right, content. So this album, from top to bottom, is definitely their best work. 100%. It's completed. It's new and old at the same time. So what it does is, they basically put every genre of alternative music, so you have rock, experimental, pop, all of that into one album, somehow made it coherent and beautiful. I don't know how, but they fucking did it. So I'm just gonna go top to fucking bottom. So there's only two songs I don't really like on this album, or iffy, which is the opening, the 1975, because they do that on every album. And I understand why they did it. It was kind of cool how they did this weird jazz mix to it. But I always wanted, like, I don't know. I like the original, too, so much more. But that's just me. And then Give Yourself a Try, which I do like. It gets repetitive. It's based on a Joy Division Sean disorder. And Two Time, fucking banger. Pop song, really up lively. When I first heard the song, I hated it, but after the second listen and watching the music video, I go, okay, I understand, it's pretty cool.
Music video is pretty woke.
The music video.
I mean, like, all
their music videos are pretty woke. Super woke. Actually, they're releasing a music video Monday, tomorrow, at 9 p.m. Pacific
Today,
Standard Time.
If you're listening to the podcast when it's dropping.
Fourth song, How
Available Now, if you're listening to the podcast any other time. Sorry, Sean, yeah. Continue.
The fourth song, How to Draw /
Petrichor.
So How to Draw was a bonus track. If you bought the Target edition of I Like It When You Sleep album 2 years ago.
By the way, shout out Target.
Super shout out Target for having a random song like that.
No, shout out Target for leaking the album.
Oh, also shout out Target for leaking the album. Thanks, you fucks. But I didn't listen to Leak because true fan. And anyways, so
give the 1975 song, their 45 cents of stream money.
I've given them way.
But anyways, How to Draw.
So they did it, they redid the song completely, and the second half of the song, they made it into this house music dance hit, like some, I don't even know, it's like Swedish House Mafia shit or something in the second half of the song.
OK Computer intentionality with that part of the song.
Well, there's that. I'm going to get to OK Computer in a second. And then there's Jesus Christ Reincarnated. I can finally talk about it. Love It If We Made It. This song is just, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's completely perfect.
Thank you.
fucking song. I don't know how, like, the first time I listened to it in July, I turned on and I go, okay, just give yourself a try, it was whatever. Put this on, I go, oh my god, this is literally Radiohead good. This is the present tense good. This is House of Cards good. How? Holy shit, the boys from Manchester fucking did it. They actually did it. Be My Mistake is great. Sincerity is Scary is good. I Like America and America Likes Me. Making fun of fucking trap by putting, by making a trap song sound good. So they did a snare drum, and I heard snare drum, I'm like, no, the hi-hat, I'm like, please don't, and they did, I'm like, wait, they're making fun of America and SoundCloud, I'm like, wait, this is cool. They fuck with Matty Healy's vocals, but he can actually sing, so it sounds good.
They auto-tune.
They auto-tune it on purpose.
I mean, like, there are a lot of artists where, like, even when they're auto-tuned, which is, it's annoying, but they sound good, like Swae Lee definitely falls in this category.
Yeah, Swae Lee does that. And then there's The Man Who Married a Robot / Love Theme, which is basically their Fitter Happier. On OK Computer,
yes,
which is a little theme of Siri voice popping over a little piano and strings, and it's a big statement against internet and
social media,
and how it.
When you reach the time, let me just pause for a sec. If you really look at a brief inquiry into online relationships, it's very easy to think that it has to do a lot with people and their relationships with each other related to the internet. And there's plenty of that in the album, especially in the first half. But it's also a relationship with people to the internet and a one kind of person relationship. Yeah. And this is where that's really highlighted in a way where, this is where, like, I will put one of my critiques of the album. This is where it started to feel ham-fisted with its message. And you look at it in its larger pace of, this is their Fitter Happier. It makes sense, it's passable. But that was one of the things that, like, kind of stuck out is, okay, I get what you're kind of being here. It's like cheeky to the point where you're like getting super close to the camera and going, see, this is what we mean. But I guess, like, albums have to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the song right after that is Inside Your Mind, which is about wanting to know what your partner thinks about you.
Right.
Which is a deep song. And then It's Not Even a Song With You, which is a song about Maddie's addiction to heroin and overcoming that. Surrounded by Heads and Bodies, literally sounds like a Radiohead song. Fucking fantastic. And the one song I don't like, Mine. Don't like it. I don't know. It's the only song that I felt was really weak. And that's the only song where I go, if they took this out, this album would literally be perfect, top to bottom. That's the only song that's kind of weighing it down. I don't know if it felt too slow. I didn't enjoy it as much. And then the last two songs are beautiful. Couldn't Be More In Love. This sweet freaking jazz. Felt like Sade in like 90s and it was awesome. And then I Always Want to Die Sometimes, in parentheses. Might be this and Love With You Made It are the two most important songs they've made in their career by far. So Love With You Made It, obviously a political statement, and All of the Times of 2018 Zeitgeist. Yeah, I mean, I can talk hours about that song.
And we did in Song of the Summer.
We did, yeah. And I will later on in December.
Audio Face Awards.
That's where I'm like waiting for it. Then there's I Always Want to Die Sometimes. This song is about Maddie's having suicidal thoughts. And the lyrics of this and the production, everything, sounds like Britpop in the 90s, but in 2018, doesn't sound dated at all. Sounds a new modern twist on Britpop. And in a way that
like
is...
Blur Oasis,
yeah, exactly. Like, that perfect stuff. And the lyrics of it are amazing because he's saying, it's your death isn't on you, it's on your friends and family.
Right.
That's fucking deep. And saying, if you feel like you can't go on, just try. Just try it. Right. Try to keep going, because that's been a big scene of mental health issues, especially in the age of the internet, social media, how that's been affecting young people a lot. And it even affected Maddie for a while. And that's what he was saying, Maddie being the front man. And that song is so important in this day and age of really saying, hey, a lot of people go through it. Almost everybody goes through it at some point in their lives. And it's okay. It's okay to talk about it, but you'll get through it. It's not the best option. It's not on you. It'll affect your friends and family more than you'll ever know. And keep trying. Keep doing as best as you can. And it's such a... It's a deep, deep song, but it's... They made it uplifting enough to not be super depressing.
And another way you can kind of read the song is, I always want to die sometimes, is that a lot of times suicidal ideation is just like a state.
Exactly.
You like have bits where you enjoy things and you're okay.
And then you'll go like, down, you'll hit your low.
You're just
low.
Down. And it's just kind of like a state of being, honestly. Like as someone who, like, I'm speaking from a total personal experience here. Like as someone who is
dealing with him and with my other friends who have that, where they'll just hit lows. And then that's when they feel like they always want to die, and then they'll get out of it, they'll go ups. You know, they'll get out of it and then they'll go back down, especially if you've had traumatic pasts and everything in your life. But what Maddie's saying is, hey, you'll get through it. Keep trying. Keep doing your best to get out of it. And your friends and family are going to be there for you. And that's a powerful statement. That might be the most important song on the album. Because Love If You Made It obviously is great, but for the fan base of the 1975, I think it's more important for them. Because a lot of them are very young people who have gone through a lot. So,
right.
I mean, top to bottom, this album is, Jesus Christ, it's a masterpiece. I don't want to just whack off to them, but I'm extremely critical of bands I like. And I always say things I don't like Mine. I just don't like that song. I don't think I will. Maybe I'll open up to it. I mean, I did open up to the King of Limbs. So, but, wow, hats off, fucking chapeau, boys. Good shit. Now I'm very excited because I want to hear you talk.
So, you gave your take, here's mine. As I was starting to listen to this album in the beginning, for the 1975, I'm fine with them. I'm a little annoyed that the 1975 is now three songs and it's going to be as many songs as however many albums they release, probably.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the point is, if you have a version that's a favorite of this song that you like, it's going to be very annoying to find it on most music apps.
Oh, that's very true.
So they should really consider, like, in parentheses, like, labeling them or something, but I don't know.
I know.
Whatever. Anyways.
No, it's their fucking...
It's fine.
It's the hipster stuff.
It's how they intro this album, so sure. With Give Yourself a Try, that's, like, how you construct an album if you're doing a whole work. You kind of go with the kind of explosion, this is what you're getting into kind of song. And for that purpose, it goes kind of well. Two Time, I actually really enjoyed. I wonder, what was the song in the that you wanted me to really listen to see if I would like?
I think, there's two. There's Two Time, and it's Not Living If It's Not With You.
Interesting.
Not Living If It's Not With You.
Yes, I know exactly that song. Okay.
Those are the two I thought you would really enjoy. Two Time, I'm right.
Yeah.
Two Times a girl.
Because it's just like poppy and almost like Damon Albarnish.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of construction.
It's fun. It's a fun song.
It's the kind of song I would think of as a good like apology for two timing relationships. I'm the kind of person to apologize for that kind of thing. But as the album goes all the way through, like two about sincerity is scary.
Okay.
I was kind of just sitting in my car driving and just kind of like, I'm so upset because I'm going to have to go on the podcast this weekend and tell Sean that he was right. And he's going to have this like fucking...
smug as fuck.
He's going to have this smug face. And he's going to just be like this for weeks. It's going to be annoying. And I'm just like, God damn it. They've made a beautiful album. Now we all get to my criticisms.
There's definitely criticisms.
I think... around the middle of the album, it started to get kind of ham-fisted with the point it was trying to make with the overall thing. But I had to catch myself and go, this is a critique I have with a lot of great albums I've liked before, where it's trying to make a point, and sometimes that point is made like...
We both did that with A Moon-Shaped Pool.
Yeah, A Moon-Shaped Pool. I'm going to talk about this about other albums I'm going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does that in the middle of the album with I Like America and America Likes Me. It's cheeky. I appreciate it, especially just being the person who does this podcast. But yeah, exactly. It's definitely like...
I'm like 1975 listens to Audio Face.
1975 listens to Audio Face. We have some geographic metric data, so we know where you live.
Thanks, Maddie.
And we have listeners in England.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to y'all, and apparently some of them are in 1975. We like you too. I actually think my favorite song on the album is Sincerity Is Scary. Why can't we be friends when we are lovers? Still always ends with us hating each other. Instead of calling me out, you should be pulling me in. I just got one more thing to say. And why would you Because I get to be smug and say that funk is back.
Well, funk, that's why I knew you would like that song, because it is funky as fuck. When I listen to that single, I go, Danny, you need to listen to the single. You're like, no, I don't. And I go, you're going to love the single. No, I'm not. You're going to love the single.
I did it to uphold the integrity of the show to make sure that we weren't dick riding. And you would do the same for me if you knew it. But now that we've listened to the album, I can say that it's a very good song. And I'm going to have to deal with this for like 2 months. You don't understand how horrible this is.
It's going to be like a year. Then I have another album coming out next year too. And it was another masterpiece, which I low-key hoped not, because then they're on the Radiohead track. I'm like, I don't want another
They're on the Radiohead track right now. I know. Like, honestly,
because if they're on the Radiohead track, that means they're going to have fucking Kid A. And Kid A is...
Okay, so hold on.
I want to keep going.
Let me finish.
This is a modest podcast.
I do think this album is top heavy, and that's my other big complaint about it. I think all the great songs are, if I'm stop being nitpicky, Inside Your Mind. I honestly didn't like It's Not Living that much. It's kind of...
Inside Your Mind is a... Ooh.
It holds...
With the guitar?
Yeah. It's Not Living If It's Not With You holds the same place in my mind as To Binge does. Like, I appreciate it as a song, but in an album, I don't love where it fits in relation to the album. As far as, like, how To Binge was in Plastic Beach. I also agree with you that mine, and so that's why, like, that combination of more things I was able to complain about near the end of the album kind of, once I sullied the experience, but it was like, I definitely, like... I was very, very happy in the beginning of the album, and then very, very, in the middle of the album. But, to be clear, this is one of those hmms that is, like, miles and miles past pretty much anything that's been released this year.
Yeah.
So now it's just, like, we're nitpicking.
No, we're being super nitpicky, because we don't want to seem like we're dick riding.
And so...
And NME, but NME can go fuck themselves.
Because, and this is something that Sean told me about before, NME is doing, like, a lot of articles about the 1975, almost more than they were doing about the,
Fucking Gallagher twins. I don't know, yeah. Twins, the cunts.
But you said that the NME was trashing the 1975 as recently as 2014.
It gave them the worst band ever award. And then 2 years later,
and now every
they
time,
put their dick back in their pants and said, oh wait, I Like It When You Sleep is best album of the year.
And now anytime Matty Healy sneezes, NME has 3 articles about it.
Seriously, so they can go fuck themselves.
Anyways.
But they did tell me that something popped up in their merch, I did buy it, so I give you, you're at like -1,000 woke, I give you -999 woke now.
A brief inquiry into unrelated relationships. I'm actually going to break with Audio Face tradition and just use a different ranking system, because I have a perfect way to explain how I feel about this album.
Okay.
Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships is 0.95 of a Demon Days.
0.95.
Okay. So like 95, like
95%.
Actually, I'd say no, 0.99% of a Demon Days.
That's fucking saying something.
Like
Jesus.
All of the same complaints about being like ham-fisted with its like message and kind of going a little bit too into itself are kind of the complaints I have about Demon Days. But it's still a fantastic album, top to bottom.
All right, so now we're gonna have This coming week, notes on a conditional form, or as Dan likes to say, notes on a conditional release date. So for those of you who don't know, the original expected release date was May of like 2019 or so, because originally the band said, especially Maddie said, that they wanted to release it before the year conclusion of A Brief Inquiry, but that definitely did not happen. Then it got pushed to February of 2020. That didn't happen. It got pushed to April. Didn't happen. Now it's May 22nd, which I'm still not going to hold my breath because I don't trust these guys. But the biggest thing with them was they said that double albums are bad for fans. So they wanted to have enough space now between A Brief Inquiry and this, to where they had recorded so much music in the past couple of years, where they wanted to make sure that it was good enough. And now I guess they keep delaying it because they've had issues with recording or other stuff, and then the whole yada yada coronavirus shit happened too, so they had to delay it a little bit for that. But anyways, they released a lot of singles, so already half the album is released. You can listen to that, and then the rest of the album will be out, and I will give my opinion on that. As much as I want to talk about the singles, I will wait for my opinion until next Monday for you guys. And yeah, thank you for joining us. So make sure you follow us on all our social medias at AudioFace Pod. As always, you can follow me at SW Suarez on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Dan at Dan from the internet on Instagram and Dan from the web on Twitter, because that's never going to change. And be sure again to listen to our full review of Notes on a Conditional Form. And yeah, because we're going to have a lot to say about that, especially if it'd be one of my favorite bands. So thank you for tuning in to us, and we'll see you next time. Cheers. So you're 18? Oh, God.
Oh, that's staying.
Oh, no.